kind of a sad day yesterday for me. For years, I'd say 7-8 years, I had a favorite pair of underpants. Yesterday, when I removed them to go to bed, I found that there was a hole in the crotch and I had to throw them away. It wasn't easy. Over the years, you grow an attachment to certain pieces of clothing. And that's the relationship that I had with this particular pair of underpants. Fruit of the Loom, to be exact. It supported me through my darkest days. Kept me up when I was feeling down. Washed away the tears of my sexual life. Yesterday, we parted. It wasn't easy. I held the pair of underpants in my hand, and I said goodbye, my friend. Thank you for everything you've done for me over the years. Taking a shop in an area that is so personal and so tender. You had my back. Actually, you had my crotch. When things were shaky and loose, you had the balls to keep it together. But now, we have to say goodbye. Sure, there'll be other underpants from Walmart and other clothing outlets, but they'll never, ever match the comfort that you provided me. And thank you for your support. Thank you for your service. It was above and beyond. Oh, it was beyond. Thank you, my friendly pair. I'll miss you.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
So sad.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, come here. Come a little closer to the speaker. Oh, not that close. No. Back up. Hope you're doing all right. I hope you'd never have to go through anything like I went through yesterday, throwing my underpants away. That was traumatic. I didn't think it would be. What's a pair of underpants? But then I started realizing what we went through together, man. Wow. You were there. Anyway, I gotta move on. Right. I'm a little confused about clothing. So I tend not to wear it a lot. I'm very confused about it, actually. I don't understand the thing. I have a pair of pants. A pair of pants? No, it's one thing. It's not a pair. A pair is two things. That would be pants, and here's pants. That would be a pair of pants. But no, a pair of pants is one pants. I don't get that. It's a pair of legs connected to a crotch, which makes it one pant. Besides, who owns less than a pair of pants? I mean, if a pair of pants is the whole pants, who walks around wearing one leg and half a crotch? Everybody has a pair, so what is that about? Doesn't make any sense. I have a pair of eyes, but I individually can control each eye. That's an eye, that's an eye, that's a pair of eyes. not with pants. And then you get to the other faction, the underpants. It's a pair of underpants. Oh, it's not. Oh, it's not. What's a pair about that? You don't even have legs in underpants. It's just the crotch thing. How is that a pair? It's wrong. I get upset about things like this. I should be on some type of medication, but I'm not. I'm not. Every once in a while, I'll self-medicate with a cocktail, but that's about it. I overthink things. Sometimes I have trouble going to sleep at night because I'm thinking about people who don't even live with me. Why would I even care? I need to disassociate myself with the human race. But then I'd care about animals. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday at a cocktail lounge, which is where I have a lot of my conversations, apparently. And we were talking about eating animals. And this lady tells me that she went to some foreign country and there was a pig running around and she chose the pig and they slaughtered the pig and she had a pig for dinner. She had pork. And I said, ooh, no, I could never eat meat where I already met the thing. I don't want to meet my dinner ahead of time, ahead of slaughter. I can't do that. It's cruel. But Ron, you're eating the meat of something that was just alive a few hours ago. Yeah, but I didn't meet it. I'm eating the meat, but I didn't meet the meat. It's different. I cannot go to a seafood restaurant. That's the end of the sentence. I cannot go to a seafood restaurant where they have a gigantic lobster tank. And you walk up to the tank and you choose your lobster. There's a person there with big forceps or whatever they're called, holding up lobster. You want this one? You want this one? You want this one? I don't care. Why are you showing me what I'm going to be eating? Why are you doing that to me? And you go, yeah, I'll eat that one. And the lobster's like kicking around. No, the lobster knows what's up. Lobsters aren't stupid. And then, like, you know, about 10 minutes later, the lobster's lying on my plate exactly the way that it looked in the tank. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I remember going to a seafood restaurant in Cleveland, Ohio. I don't know why, but I did. I think the last thing Cleveland is known for is their seafood. Yeah, it's caught fresh. From where? You don't have any oceans. Fresh from what? Anyway, so I order the trout. And I'm sitting there and waiting, and the waiter comes over and puts the plate in front of me, and there is a nice, nice trout. Split open with the trout meat there, fish meat, wonderful, looked great, had some almonds and some melted butter on it, beautiful, beautiful. But then I look over, and they kept the head on the plate. The head was there in full, stuck at the top of the fish. Now, look. I don't know if this is presentation or what, but it seemed a little bit odd to have a fish head sticking on the top of a gutted body. What am I supposed to say? Thanks for the fish head. That's a beautiful rendering of a dead fish. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you handing me the fish head? And I asked the waiter, I said, could you remove the head of the fish, please? And he said, absolutely, absolutely. And he took the fish head away, he picked it up and put it on a separate plate and walked away. And I said, well, what did you do that? Why did they deliver a fish head to me on the plate? What do I do with it? Am I supposed to suck on it? That's garnish. Using an animal's head as garnish. Whatever happened to parsley? I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I can't. I'm not proud about this. I've talked about this before. I eat meat. I eat things that were recently alive. And I'm not proud of it at all. I'm not proud of that. but it is so tasty. I guess it's a struggle between tasty and pride. Tasty seems to win. I have a friend who is for Lent, and I don't understand what Lent is, to be honest with you. I'm not of that religious background, so I never really got into it. Apparently, you give something up for, I don't really know why, to make yourself feel better about yourself, about what, I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm not from that place. So for Lent, I'm not lending you anything. No, Ron, it's Lent is when you give something up that you really like in order to show people that you have discipline. Oh, God. This is so funny. The human race is so funny. Isn't it funny? So I said, what are you giving up for Lent? And she runs through this list of things that she won't give up. She says, well, I thought about alcohol, but I ain't giving that up. Oh, okay. I see how this Lent thing works. I'm not giving up stuff that I really like. I'm giving up stuff that I think I can give up. Well, then how is that Lent? I don't quite understand this whole Lent deal. I didn't read the rules on the Lent thing. For the longest time, I thought it was lint. I thought, you know, you give up lint. And I thought, well, it's an odd thing to give up. I don't want it to begin with. Lint is disgusting. I don't understand what it is. You put your clothes in the dryer, and you take the clothes out, and they smell wonderful and nice and clean. And then you look at a tray inside of the dryer, and it's full of clothes hair. I don't know what the hell that stuff is. It's this came off my clothes? Am I walking around with this stuff and baked in my clothes unless I put them in the dryer? What is this lint stuff? It's disgusting. I'm never wearing clothes again if there's lint in it like this stuff. I think lint is clothes that are shedding. I think it's like when you take a shower and then you brush your hair and some of your hair comes out in the shower and in the brush. That's lint, isn't it? Isn't that like human lint? Isn't that like the Dead Sea Scrolls? Like the dead skin scrolls or something? I don't know. Anyway, so she says, no, I'm not giving up alcohol for Lent. No, I'm not doing that. I said, what, giving up sex? Oh, no, I'm not giving up sex for Lent. You don't understand how this works. I said, no, I guess I really don't. And then she said, I'll give up meat. All right, you're giving up meat. What does that mean? She says, well, I'm giving up red meat, chicken, poultry, because that's meat. What are you gonna eat? I mean, this is for like a long time. It's like for 3 weeks. Like, what are you gonna eat? And she says, well, I'll eat fish. Wait a minute, isn't fish meat? I mean, aren't you eating the flesh of the fish? That's fish meat, isn't it? No, it's fish. What do you mean, no, it's fish? It's the meat of the fish. It's the meat of a living thing. It's different, though, Ron. You know, you better figure out this lint thing, because you're confusing the hell out of me. If you're not going to eat meat, you should just be eating vegetables and eggs and things like that. I don't understand. I just don't. I don't think eggs. Well, actually, when you're eating eggs, you're eating. That doesn't make sense either. I don't think we think things through, and I think things through too much. I think so. Let's go to the White House. All right, what's this bozo done now? Nothing, it's just a recap. I'm starting to get upset again. There was some type of a sting operation where all these rich people, including celebrities, were paying large amounts of money to get their kids to go to a prestigious college, even though their kids were like bone stupid. Apparently, if your kid's stupid, you can pay between $15,000 and $10 million to get your kid into a prestigious school. And believe me, they'll take the kid. You can also pay off people to take tests for your kid to have them get special treatment. So in other words, when you have tons of money, you can buy yourself things that you're not supposed to do. So there's been a big sting operation. So far, up to 50 people have been arrested for buying their way into things. And I thought, okay, that's terrible. And then I thought, wait a minute, let me take a look at the White House here. The president, this guy, he pays off people all the time. This is the president of the United States, the person that we voted in. Well, you did. We learn, and we know for a fact, that his Trump University was a scam. We know that. We know that people sued him, large amounts of people, for this Trump University scam. They sued Donald Trump, and he settled out of court. He paid them off to drop the suit. Do you have that kind of money to pay people off when you get in trouble? I don't think you do. We also learned from Michael Cohen, who's Trump's longtime attorney, and there's no reason to disbelieve, that Donald Trump sent letters to universities and schools saying, if anybody asks, do not release my grades. Now, obviously, it's because his grades sucked. We all know the man can't read. He doesn't like to read. I don't think he can read. If he can, it's just the basics. We know from his tweets, he can't spell. He can't put words together in a constructive sentence. We know that for a fact. We know that for a fact. We know he's dumb as a brick. We know he doesn't listen to people. He doesn't read things. He just has people tell him things and he pays no attention to it. His attention span is that of a donut. We know that. It's been displayed. So we know that whatever schools he got into, he paid to get in and didn't just pay like we do, paid under the table to get a stupid person to go to a prestigious school. His family has had money all of their lives. He was given money to start businesses. They failed. He put more money into it. He borrowed and laundered money. We know this for a fact. You elected a president who buys people to pay people off to get his way. Very similar to this big college entrance scam. This is the president. Do you have enough money to buy your way into things like that? If you get into some legal trouble or somebody threatens you with legal action, do you have enough money just to pay them off? Do you have enough money to pay off porn stars so that they don't spill the beans and you may not be elected president or your wife may find out? Do you have that kind of money? See, I have nothing against people making a lot of money. What I do have a problem with is when they use that money to get things that other people can't get. You can buy better cars, you can buy bigger houses. I get that. But you don't pay people off in order to get your way when other people have no... I mean, it bothers me so much, when people can get themselves out of legal trouble simply by paying off to settle a case. That's something you can't do. And yet this president is supposed to represent Middle America. He doesn't know what Middle America is. He has no concept of what Middle America is. He never was in it. He never rubbed elbows with anybody who was in it. He never experienced having to write out a check for something that he may not have enough money for in the bank. He never experienced that type of trauma, that type of living from paycheck to paycheck. He has no concept what living from paycheck to paycheck is. And yet, there he sits in his little Oval Office. And yet, there he sits. I wish all I had to worry about was parting with my pants and my underpants. I wish that was all I had to worry about, but apparently there's more to it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today on the program, our guest is going to be Alicia Carey. Let me explain a little bit about her. We do a segment once a week called Chit Chat. Sounds a little stupid, but we do it. She is a New York City fashion designer. She does rather well in that field. She's quite respected. She lives in Manhattan. And once a week, she goes to a nearby coffee shop, sits down, orders some liquid, and we talk on the phone for about 10, 15 minutes about social issues, social things, lifestyle things. I sit in a studio in the Boston area. She sits in a coffee shop in Manhattan. That's what we do. So she's going to join us today, and we're going to do a chit-chat segment. You might want to get a sandwich. I don't know what you want to do. I have no idea what you want to do at this point. So let's take a little break, and when we come back, Alicia Carey will be joining us. You made this choice, not me.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Did they just not offer you a second choice? Or did you not have a lot of time to choose? Help me out here. I don't understand. What were you thinking?
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Good.
Okay. All right. We got that out of the way. All right.
Well, pleasantries. If we don't have pleasantries, we're animals.
What are we? What are we if we don't have pleasantries? What are we?
All right. Stop it.
All right. You having tea or coffee today?
Tea. Good. No more coffee.
Oh, good. And do you get caffeine shakes from that?
No, I stopped coffee 2 years ago.
Okay, but tea has caffeine unless you have it decaffeinated, I believe.
Correct, you're right. And I do get, I actually get a mixture. So some days, depending on where I am, I'll get like the Lipton. Some days I'll get fancy loose leaf. And today I just have a green tea.
Huh.
With lemon.
Yeah.
No, excuse me, I apologize. With honey and a little bit of milk.
Okay. Sounds great. I have nothing. I have nothing.
Okay. Yeah. Zero.
Zero calories. Okay. Hey, at the beginning we were talking about, this is Alicia Carey, by the way. At the beginning we were talking about what are we if we don't have pleasantries? Who are we? What are we? And sometimes I get confused. This is a good lead-in. Sometimes I get confused as to who we really are. Are we who we are, or are we what we see and what we try to mirror?
Deep.
It's like my first day here.
Deep stuff.
I know, man. I know. So our subject today is we try to emulate what we see in other things And then if we're not that, we feel differently.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I just said.
It's all good. Don't worry. I understand. Okay. They understand.
Do you watch a lot of television?
Yes, I was raised by TV, actually.
Me too.
One of my parents, my mom was a single mom for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, and I had a stepdad, and I had a full-time TV parent.
Uh-huh.
Very reliable.
Yeah, me too. I got confused when I was growing up, and I guess I still am, where what's portrayed to me on both the silver screen and the tiny screen on the television, it's almost like I feel inadequate because I am not what those exciting sexual beings are on the screen.
Sexual.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I don't know.
A lot of stuff going on, man. That's stuff today. Today. So you got confused, or you're still confused?
No, well, I think I'm all right now, but it's questionable. I get that. No, but there is a, why do all these people on the screen, why are their lives so exciting and full of fulfillment and sorrow? I guess I dismiss all the sorrow I see on the screen.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's, I think to little kids, it's a little confusing because they're not shaped yet. They haven't had life experiences, and their role model is either their parental units or what they see on the screen.
Correct. Yeah, I had a TV dad, when I was trying to find my dad.
There you go.
So yeah, mm-hmm. you're absolutely right. There is some confusion, but there's also so much good stuff in reality versus your life. When you're younger, I'm speaking from my experience, mm-hmm. I was, TV was my educator, actually. I watched, here's a big word for you today, a potpourri of shows.
Nice.
So I watched The Science Guy, Bill Nye, Science Guy. Mm-hmm. I watched, there's a few that I'm missing on Saturdays. I watched my cartoons. I was faithful at late night to certain shows,
mm-hmm.
but I always thought they always seemed to teach me things. It was more teachable for me.
Hmm.
I think now it probably is more fantasy for a lot of people, especially reality TV. Reality TV has grown. So
well, maybe it's different for kids than it is for adults. I don't know. I'll give you two examples of how I think TV and movies are like Santa Claus to me.
Okay.
In other words, you believe in them, you follow them, and someday you find out,
they're not real. They're dressed up as Santa, yeah.
Now, let's take America's dad before the turn of the century, Bill Cosby. He was a great role model for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, witty, yet kept it together, stupider than his wife. I mean, it all fit in.
Professional job,
yes.
Beautiful home, beautiful children.
Yeah. And, and then, oh my God, Michael Jackson, king of pop, wanted to be on that stage. Oh my God. Bob Saget on that family show, I can't remember, the Full House. Bob Saget, if you find out he's a filthy mouth sexist, it's weird. What's going on? Are they cleaning the floors?
No, they're doing smoothies. It's getting a little warm out.
Okay, gotcha.
So smoothie request is back.
Okay,
that's gotcha. What you hear in the background.
Okay, thanks.
I understand what you're saying, and I get it, but I think that's like, I think that is. I think that's kind of like par for the course. I'm not really, I know that might be shocking to some people. I just think that some people are not what they seem for mm-hmm. everybody. It's not necessarily shocking. I think for me, what I'm a little bit more concerned about sometimes is I saw an Instagram post. It's a girl who's looking at a model, okay? And this model is on this show, and this model's got this look. Let's just say the Kardashians, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she does her makeup to look like them, but then she still doesn't look like them. So
right.
The next post is her after she just goes and gets a nose job.
Uh-oh.
I think it's more, that's where I'm more concerned mm-hmm. where definitions of beauty, even though they have expanded, that's the TV versus reality TV, because a lot of celebrities have altered their appearances from slight to a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
so that's where I think the women, I'm speaking from the women that I know, or just in general from what I could see, that's where TV versus reality TV is, literally is like a big jump.
Yeah.
And or then the other thing is dating, or your love life.
Nah,
your reality TV is Lifetime movies, which, by the way, I just, it's not my cup of tea. I'm going to use that word because my mom said you can't say something nice. I'm not a really huge fan.
I understand.
But when I see the formula is a girl goes to Timbuktu or wherever.
Yep.
She's trying to find herself.
Yep.
She runs into a veterinarian, wine expert, cake chef.
Mm.
First she resists his charms. Mm. Then she's pulled into his charms. And then they have a, you know, Martha Stewart wedding.
Yes.
on the vineyard.
Yes.
And that's also... Those kind of shows or depictions probably set a lot of women up for heartache. That's how they're
I think that's more the Hallmark Channel. The Lifetime thing is she marries the guy and then finds out that he's a murderer or has killed five previous wives.
Okay.
And in the last 5 minutes, he does attack her, but the police show up and shoot him. The other one you talked—that's the Hallmark. Where
is that? I didn't know which one.
Yeah,
it was.
The Hallmark is where everything is perfect.
One of them is just really freaking me out.
Yeah.
But but when it comes to love, even when it comes to love, it's not like we both know it's not a package. It's not a
no package.
Snap, snap, snap. So I think that your TV versus reality TV, that kind of sets you up a little bit. But
sorta.
I think I sort of.
Well, in a sense, I mean, I'm concerned about the sex on the screen, where if there's a male and a female, or two gay guys, whatever, or two women, whatever the case may be, they meet, and then within about 5 minutes, they're in bed somewhere. And it's just like it is a dinner date. Take me to my boom. And it's like, well, you know, I don't do that. I don't know. Am I doing something wrong? Am I supposed to be doing that? It's kind of odd.
Well, they only have 60 minutes or 90 minutes.
90,
you know, they
well,
got, no, but so it's really, you know, but anyways, I understand what you're saying. And I think
that'd be great if I could have dinner with somebody and say, look, you want to go upstairs? I only got 90 minutes here.
The show runs with commercials. 90
minutes, right?
90 minutes,
so we got to squeeze this in. So let's get to it.
We got to squeeze this in someplace. but you know, that's dating. For me, I think the reality TV, the reality versus TV are the ones, the big ones are dating, like you said, / sex, beauty, / fashion.
Mm-hmm.
If you look on TV, okay, for example, when the show Friends was on, or any people look at people's interior of their homes and they think, this is what a New York apartment looks like.
Correct.
No, it's not.
No.
You know? This is what these girls are having to be sitting around a coffee shop. None of them have gone to work in weeks.
Right.
But yet, their rent is always paid.
Yes.
And coincidentally enough, they're all wearing the highest of fashion.
Exactly.
So that's where sometimes people like try to measure themselves to what is on TV, the looks, the fashion, even the husband. You know, they might judge the men. The men are not that... you know, with a perfect job, perfect look situation, the packaging is not what they see, and they might reject it because it's not
correct
TV reality. You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
It's too real. It's real. There's real.
You don't see a lot of love stories on television and movies with chubby little ball people.
No,
it doesn't happen.
No, not at all.
Unless it is some comedy relief character, the friend of the guy that does look good.
Correct. Or one of those Lifetime / movies where the woman is not exactly gorgeous, but somehow she finds a guy that fits that.
Yeah, she's looking all right. She's looking okay. Yeah,
she's okay. So, so that's those are the ones. But I'm going to tell you something. I do have faith in people that they see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like it's like Disneyland. We can visit it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I've always been able to live there. I don't know.
That's
we can visit and see it for what it is, Yeah. But we don't confuse it with, I don't, I tell you something, I watch so much TV that at one time my mother, they gave parents a survey mm-hmm. at my school, like how much TV does your child watch, mm-hmm. you know? And let's just say my number was so out there. My mother looked back at me like, what? And I remember thinking, oh my God, my TV moments are going to be reeled back. Yeah. Now, if it wasn't for the fact that my grades were straight A's, yeah. I would have been missed out on a lot of situations. Yeah. But yes, but she looked back and she's like, I don't know if you should be watching this amount of TV. I'm like, Mom, listen, are you kidding me? But yes, I mean, I've always been able to step back, but I guess the question we have to ask ourselves, boys and girls, is real versus reality TV? Can you tell the difference? Is it amusing, or you just kind of, are you blowing the line?
You know? I think we can tell the difference until it comes to the next category and probably the last one, and that's violence. Some people do take that seriously, and that's dangerous because the ramifications of that are a lot more impactful than the other things we're talking about. And that's where I think some kids don't really, and some adults don't know the difference between that and reality.
I agree. And that scares me. I agree because I've heard too many stories or too many news reports about copycats. And yes, that is a scary thing. And then the violence, but also which I think we might be a topic on its own, is this thing lately. It's not lately, I apologize. It's more of something that is just catching the public attention more so.
True.
Is mental illness.
Yes.
When you don't just dip your toe into this reality TV, but throw your whole body into it.
Yeah.
It is. It will take many a people off course.
Yeah.
And if you are, you know, so that is, you're right. And that will put you in too many places. And that's where reality TV has really messed some people up.
One thing I'd like to explore in the future for a future topic is why many people enjoy violence as a form of entertainment. Why they go to see these Saw movies or movies where people, or Friday the 13th or Halloween. Why is that? Why does that draw so many people who love to see heads falling off of necks and gashes and bodies? Like, what is it about us that we find that to draw us to pay movie tickets for that? So we'll talk about that in the future, perhaps.
But before you sign off on that, pin in that. Back in the days of Romans, I believe there is a little bloodlust that exists in us. I mean, that's why people slow down for horrific car wrecks on the on the highway.
True.
There is something about it that fascinates us. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people, mm-hmm. so I'm going to let you know I have not seen.
I don't go to them either.
But we do carry that gene in us. It's not to be denied.
We treat it like a thrill ride at an amusement park is what we do.
Yes, we do.
Hey, this is always fascinating. I don't know if it's the tea or what, but it's pretty fascinating today.
Oh, my God. That's a nice compliment on a reality or real. You know, I don't know if it's a tea or what, but are you getting better looking with each sip, or is there some alcohol? Thank you, sir. I appreciate the niceties.
Well, you took that comment to the hilt. I'll tell you that. My God.
That's what I do.
You twisted. You twisted that baby pretty good.
Publicist. That's what I do.
You're a publicist. It's true. It is what you do. I should have known. Hey, good talking to you again. We'll talk to you next week with more chit chat. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Another one bites the dust. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. Until then, I wish you peace.